So the whole idea is to stop Christians from talking. Now, here's what God told me. What is Satan afraid of? He's afraid of us talking.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be attacking us if he wasn't so afraid. So what does that tell us? Talk. Speak. So let's look at Scripture, Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. They're trying to silence us, but we will not be silent. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is full of faith, full of love, full of power. And the world can't tolerate it anymore. So they're trying everything they can to stop it. So that's our signal. Go get them. I will not be silent. Of course, I shared with you last year how the kids all in our area, all the different schools, the kids, it was the kids' idea to start these prayer meetings. I think there was like 12 people, 12 kids, and it ended up with 60, and then like the whole school was going into the lunchroom to pray. And there's nothing that anyone can do. It's not illegal if, as long as a preacher isn't in charge or a teacher isn't in charge, they can do anything they want. And they're doing it. And so this is spreading all over our nation. And then last year, because of all of the protests, abortions and all of that, the churches of Branson decided to get together, go up on the strip. There's a place, one of the strip malls was taken out by a tornado, so they took all the buildings away, all the trash and everything, so there's a big parking lot. So all the churches decided to go together and go up there, right where everybody going on the strip could see them, and they worshiped God. No protests. Not people come, what are you protesting? What are you? We're not protesting it. We're just loving our Jesus. See? Now, I've seen in the Spirit, and this will happen. You'll see it. The streets of the towns and the cities are going to fill up with believers worshiping and praising God in unity, loving one another. There won't be any Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Catholics, or anything else. It's just going to be believers worshiping their God. And nobody will be able to stop them. Hallelujah. And what happens when you worship? Old Testament, what did they do? They sent the trumpeters and the worshipers before the army. What happened to the enemy? They went against each other and devoured one another till there was not one left. Over and over again. So ours is to worship and to worship and to worship and to worship and to worship. Okay? And speak the word of the Lord. Speaking the word of the Lord out loud.
Yes.
Now a lot of what we're doing in intercession is actually proclamation. We're proclaiming righteousness to fill our land. We're proclaiming blessing to be upon our land. What they're actually trying to say is freedom of speech does not apply to Christians. Reading the Bible is illegal. Prayer is illegal. Worshiping your God in public is illegal. But it isn't. Because we're going to worship our God. We will not be silent. Acts 18:9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. That's the word of the Lord. That's God's word to you. Speak and do not be silent. Now, this would be bad enough if it was just the world out there. But you will notice that it's also in churches.
Yes.
You can only say so much. No, you can't talk about that. No, you can't talk about it. No. We'll cover more of this. I'm just as kind of introduction. But they're just all these things that are no-nos. You know. Even though the scripture is very plain about us speaking these things, they said, oh no, you might cause trouble. Can you imagine what a society would be like if everyone knew the truth about everything? If everyone knew the truth. See, our whole world system is based on lies. And no one wants you to uncover any of it. But we're believers in Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit do? Guides us into all truth. There is not a single truth that you and I can't have brought to us, exposed to us. God will not hold anything back. Of course, we have the Bible, the Word of God. We have the Bible and we have the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is guiding us even to the truth that's in the Bible. As you read the Bible, know, you can read a chapter today and a week later read the same chapter. And it's like, where'd that come from? You know, so he's constantly guiding us into all truth. What if, for instance, right now their big thing is they're working on the health program. No one will say anything about the greed that's taken on. Donald Trump's mentioned it, but no one else will dare mention that all of these people, they're greedy, they're charging. You know, and I know I've mentioned it, but what if all of a sudden people just said, you know what, we're tired of this whole thing. We're going to find out the truth of everything. We're going to find out the truth about everything. I think I shared with you that when we had the Truth for Youth House, I was called up to Northern Kansas City. One of my board members knew this grandma who had this granddaughter, and she'd been arrested for drug possession and a whole bunch of other stuff. And so she was just done for. Anyway, Grandma said, you know, would you witness to her? So I went up. Grandma was one of these people that talks a lot. So I knew I couldn't talk to the girl and Grandma at the same time. So I asked my friend, I said, would you talk to Grandma? I'm going to take this lady into the kitchen and I talked to her while I led her to the Lord. I mean, she had a tremendous born-again experience and repented of her sin. And when we got all done, she said, Wayne, would you go to court with me? She had a court date. I said, I'll be glad to do that. So I went to court with her. And she had this attorney, public defender, and he made up a story. She was going to be in prison for 20 years. So he was trying to get it reduced to 10. And he said, I think if we tell the judge this, 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 and this, that he will reduce the charges. and the time you'll spend in prison. So he said, now I'm going to say this, and then you'll come in and you'll say this. It was all fabricated. And so, as God would have it, the attorney, right before they got called up, I had to go to the bathroom. And so he's off to the bathroom, and she said, Wayne, what do I do? And I said, well, when it's your turn, you just tell the judge everything you've ever done. And be totally truthful. Mm-hmm. See? And so the attorney comes back, they call him up, and he tells his fabricated half of the story. And she tells the truth. And I mean, she just laid it out with a grin on her face and said, this is the way it is. I'm guilty. And the judge, when he got through, he said, I've never done this in my life. But he said, I believe you. And I'm going to put you on double probation. You'll have two probation officers, no time in prison, as long as you go with this guy. He pointed right at me. I didn't know the judge. I'd never seen him in my life.
Oh, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be full of faith, and then speak faith. See, we're done talking words. We're going to, from now on, we're going to speak God words. And they have power. The sound of it won't go very far, but the power of it will go around the earth. You can actually, every morning when I'm doing this, you can actually feel everything shaking and Satan trembling. But the proclamation, see, it is so powerful when you speak God's words. See, we are priests. And a priest has two jobs. One job is to represent the people to God. The other one is to represent God to the people. Okay? As intercessors, we have the job of praying, so we're praying to God, and we're praying for people, but also we're actually hearing God's words, the same God that spoke the universe into existence, the same God that spoke over Israel to go into the promised land. That same God said, I spoke it, it will happen. And he's having us to speak words. I never know what it's going to be. But when I speak it, it happens. And I'm speaking the word of the Lord, and it's happening. Everything we're speaking is happening. And so we need many intercessors. Don't be silent. No. Speak. And we're not just saying words. The mighty God is speaking through us. We can speak it in tongues. We can speak it in English. But we need to be making proclamation. Colossians 4:3, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So even in prison, they can't stop the word of the Lord. But a door will be open. I'm in chains, but I'm not in chains. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. We're going to walk in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the love of Jesus Christ, and we're going to speak the word of Jesus Christ. We're going to speak words of faith and power that will be demonstration. Now, like I said, even in churches, they don't mind you talking Bible. You can discuss doctrine. You can do all of this that you want. Just don't say anything that might bring about reality. Their reasoning for this is, we don't want anyone to be disappointed. And if you build up somebody's faith and it doesn't work, they're going to be so disappointed. That's their reasoning. Cast down reasoning. Okay? Speak the word of faith. In my church, I'm in a Southern Baptist church, people come for prayer. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to speak prophecy. I'm going to speak the word of the Lord. And reality is the end result. What I speak comes to pass. And that's called glory. Recognizable reality of God's presence. Everybody can see. Oh, the word of the Lord. Faith. Love. Oh, it did work. They don't mind as long as you don't get in the realm of reality. Be bold. Speak the word of the Lord. Let it land where it will. Okay? Don't be disrespectful. No. Speak the truth in love. Okay? Jesus said every miracle he ever did, said, and he was moved with compassion. Compassion motivates miracles. Faith works by love. And so, as long as we're walking in the love of God, we can speak the word of faith, and reality will be the end result. Okay. Romans 3:4, sort of in the middle of the sentence. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Truth needs to prevail in the land. Truth has to prevail. Jesus said, I am the truth. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So it will be a revelation of Jesus Christ. As truth comes, everything that is a deception, because they don't call it, well, I'm really trying to deceive you.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying, I think we have the facts here. In the news media, it's called investigative reporting. Mm-hmm. The problem is, they don't want to be investigated. What if we investigated the news media? We're going to go back, we're going to watch we're going to get a special committee that's going to go back and watch all of the footage before the election. We're going to see if you meddled, if you tried to influence the election. And everyone that is convicted goes to jail. The network will be fined $50 million. That pays for the investigation. What if we knew the truth? I don't watch that much news anymore because I'm sitting there like, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. No, you're not telling me the truth. No. It's like counseling. A lot of times when I'm counseling, I don't talk, I listen. I don't just listen to people, though I listen to God. And so they're telling me their story, supposedly, and I'm listening to God. When they get through telling the story, and I say, but what about, and I tell them what God tells me. Like, oh, how'd you know that? See, we're not supposed to know the truth. We're just supposed to be convinced that their story is right. Problem is, you can't get free until you acknowledge the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And so we need to let God be true. Listen to God, in other words. Listen to God. Live in the Word. Live in the Holy Spirit. Then you will know truth. Philippians 1:14. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The greater the trouble that comes on the earth, the bolder the people will become. Okay? Fact is, our survival will be boldness to speak words. Our survival. And I can say this to you, and it'll go right over your head, because there's just not that much trouble. But see, I've already been there. I've seen it in the Spirit. And I hear about it from other lands. For instance, where is the greatest revival today? Syria. More people per capita being born again in Syria, in the middle of war. Where's the other one? Iraq. And they are speaking the word of the Lord. It is their survival. Why are they trying to stop people from preaching the gospel? Hallelujah. Okay, we won't have time to go through all these, but please keep the paper and look at them. We'll just kind of go through them briefly. I'll try not to spend a lot of time on each one. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth of love may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. What's that mean? The more you speak the truth, the more you'll grow up. The more you'll come into that fullness of maturity. And the more you see, the more you will grow. Okay? The more you see, to him who has will more be given. To him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It's revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we actually are maturing, or we're actually growing. So we have to get rid of all, even where we're deceiving ourselves. This is where I am right now. This is a real thing with me, is God, show me where I have deceived myself. Show me the truth, and I will repent. And he's doing it. And so every day is more and more repentance. And it's things, you know, that I wouldn't even think of. But he said, you remember this. You remember you did this. You said this. See, that's not to bring you into condemnation. That's to bring you into liberty.
Yeah, freedom.
Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. So the word is in our mouth. We need to speak it out loud. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Instructing people. and you'll be a good minister. A lot of ministers think good ministry is not upsetting the apple cart. Good ministry.
That's right.
Is telling them the truth in love so that they receive it. If we want to guide into all truth, and my job isn't to be great, my job is to make you great. As I've told Raul and as many as I've discipled, I want all of you to pass me up. I want you to do far greater than I've ever done. Jesus said, the things I do, you will do. And greater than these will you do because I go to my Father. Jesus said, come on, pass me up. I want that. Okay, so we're speaking words of faith. Instruct brethren these things. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. So you follow it, it is a part of your life. It's not what you believe, it's what you do. You follow it. When I joined the Air Force, went to Lackland Air Force Base. So I get there, and I'm Southern Baptist, and I really haven't met too many other people outside of my denomination. So I meet this young man who is a Catholic. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. I've never met a Catholic. You're a really nice fellow. I'd like for you to tell me what you believe. And he said, oh, that's easy. Come with me. I'll take you to the chaplain. And he'll tell you. I said, no, I don't want to know what he knows. I want to know what you know. I want to know what you believe. He thought about it, and he said, I can't tell you anything. I don't know what I believe. I really felt sorry for him because he actually went berserk over that, and they discharged him with a medical discharge because he didn't know what he believed. I probably shouldn't have asked him. Probably made a good soldier. But no one had ever asked him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we had this other fellow, a Jewish fellow, Pasternak, was his last name. Now, I've never met a Jew before. Tell me what you believe. And he said, I go to the synagogue. I do. And he would tell me all of these things that he did. I said, but what do you believe? He said, oh, I'm an atheist. So I got to checking around, and all the Jews I could find, they all said, I'm an atheist. I never found a single one that said, I believe in the living God. They said, what we have here on earth is all there is. When you die, they just put you in the ground. There is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no afterlife. This is it. So heaven for us is how God prospers us, prospers our lives, blesses us. But no, we're atheists. So, do people know what you believe? Have you told them what you believe? Well, they're not going to listen to you unless they know that you really care about them. If you're trying just to put another notch on your pistol grip, they're not going to, you know, they've had enough of that. So, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so words of hope. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound in hope. Be filled with joy. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, that is relationships. It is peace, And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. See, that's the kingdom. What do we need in America? Righteousness, peace, and joy. What do we need around the earth? Righteousness, peace, and joy. What do we need in Congress? Righteousness, peace, and joy. What if they were all of one heart to find out what is the truth about all of these issues that they're dealing with, whether it's the health program or whatever? What if they said, you know what? We have some brilliant minds here. Let's find out the truth about everything. Okay. Words of peace. Whatever house you enter, say, first say, peace to this house. Now, this is not nice little words that you're going to say. When you speak this, everything in that house shudders and shakes. Every demon leaves. Every sickness leaves. All conflict, all unrighteousness. Everything that came on the earth by the sin of Adam, everything that came in by the sin of Adam has to depart when you say, peace be to this house. What if we knew the power and authority that we have to speak words? Words that make a difference. Words. Words of power. Words of faith. Words of love. Words of hope. Like I said earlier, a lot of times they don't even want you to give people hope. Well, we don't want to get their hopes up. Words of power. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is alive. It's the same word that God spoke creating the universe. Okay? Words of testimony. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, that is the Antichrist, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. That's what it's going to take to walk in victory in the last days. It's peaceful right now. We're in a section of time called peace and safety, but then sudden destruction. Be ready to live the Christian life with all power. Be ready to give your testimony even if you die.
Yeah,
I know I've taught some of you this, but it's always in order to testify. It's not always in order to evangelize. Okay? It's always 100% of the time you can tell them what God did in your life. That is never, never, never out of order. Always 100%. But we wait. We give testimony. Then we wait until God takes that testimony and begins to produce faith in their heart, then we evangelize. Otherwise, you give them an opportunity to say no before God has put the yes in their heart. Give God time to work. And by the way, you may not be the only testimony. You may not be the only witness. You may be three or four down the line, and there may be 10 more. But all the time, God's working in their heart. And then somewhere along the line, Paul plants, Apollos waters, and God gives the increase. Somewhere down the line, someone will have the unction to say, do you believe? And they'll say, yes, I believe, I receive. Words of truth. Put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. What if we just believed that one verse? Out of everything else we've talked, speak truth to one another. Okay, words of blessing. We need to proclaim. And one of the things I'm proclaiming every day, especially on America, is God bless America. And He is doing it. He is doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. And He's opening eyes. And the truth about a lot of these things are going to come to pass. And there's things that we can speak. You understand what God's dealing with here. Jesus said, I am the truth. No wonder they killed Him. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the reality. See, in the Greek, the word translated truth also translates reality. I'm the reality. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. And so Jesus was that reality. He's the truth, the very substance of God. Okay, there's words of life. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people the words of this life. That sounds like outdoors or in church, wherever, speaking words of life. John 6:33, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Okay. What if we believed that? What if we started speaking words of spirit and words of life? Everywhere we went, everyone we talked to, we're speaking words of life, words of life, words of life. When I go to church, I'm not the speaker, I'm not the minister, but everyone around me in the foyer, before service, after service, words of life, words of life. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What if we knew we had the words of eternal life? We do. They're powerful words. Words to edify. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. The word edify here means to build up. So you build yourself up. You're maturing yourself in holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you also edify others. The more confidence you have in who you are, the more confident you will be to speak to others. You need to be able to speak with that confidence. I know. How is it? Because you've been praying in tongues. You're built up in that. You're edified. Now you can edify others. You can build them up. That's not the world. The world's thing is to run everyone down so you look better. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Edify. Let's be looking for ways to build each other up, strengthen one another, help to mature each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Paul's saying, good job. Good job. Keep it up. Keep edifying. Keep. In fact, sometimes the best way to encourage people is to say, will you pray for me? I've gone into meetings. I remember this one meeting was in Hannibal. I go there. I don't know anyone. I've been invited, and I go in, and the people are just looking at me like, you know, what kind of false doctrine is this guy going to bring us? Whatever, you know. And it's like, I don't know, you know, how to enter into this. So I just grabbed me a folding chair, pull it up in the middle. I say, would everyone here lay hands on me and pray for me? Who taught me that? There was that guy back east, that Jewish guy, what was his name? Jesus? Met a woman at the well and said, give me a drink of water. And she ended up receiving everlasting life.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. So I just pulled the chair up and I said, pray for me. And they received the word.
Neat.
See, they received because I received. I received them first. Jesus received the drink of water first before he gave her living water. Okay, so words of healing. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And my, we could talk for hours of when we, people not even in the room, even miles away, and we spoke the word and they were instantly healed. Didn't hear our voice, but the power of God came on them. And they were healed at that very moment that we spoke. Words of prayer and thanksgiving. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Okay? Words of song, very important part. And words of wisdom. Instruction in what to do. That's what wisdom is. The ability to know what to do or how to do. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. So often, people are trying to rely on the wisdom of this age. It will not work in the kingdom. Okay. And so we need to be bold to speak words of wisdom. Nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. I want you to see that. Everyone who is now of God is coming to nothing. What if you knew that? What if you knew that? Look at him and say, oh, you're coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So that the church can be recognized. He did all of this. This multifaceted wisdom of God. This mystery. So that the church in the end times in darkness will be the light. You are the light of the world. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so there's also words of confession. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means to say the same thing. To say what God is saying. So as we are proclaiming on the earth, we are confessing or we're saying what God is saying. And God's word will not return void.
That's right.
It'll never return void. It will accomplish. You can speak it and walk away, and it'll get the job done. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, the one thing I want you to pick up off of that is this word unto. It's a Greek word, and it means to solidify. Like if you pour concrete, it's just a mess. You let it set, and it will harden. Put your hand in there, and 100 years from now, that print will be there. See? So what you confess in giving your testimony or the word of the Lord, whatever God gives you, or whatever you proclaim on the earth, it will solidify. It is planted, it is done, and it cannot be moved. So with the mouth, confession is made unto. And this is one reason why I like for people to, when they pray, to pray out loud. I realize there's times where I'm in situations where I pray, I'm not praying out. I even pray in tongues without praying out loud. But anytime I can, if I have the opportunity, I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to speak. And as the scripture says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks into the air. Okay? The old radio preachers, I remember a lot of them. That means it's nothing. You're just speaking into the air. No, you're changing the atmosphere. The atmosphere is satanic. God is changing the atmosphere. Satan is the god of the air.
Yeah.
And he's the god of this world. But when you pray in tongues, you actually change the atmosphere from a negative to a positive. Confession made unto. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we continue to speak the living word of God, confess the word, confess Jesus Christ, and it will come to pass. And then speaking words of blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. But we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and toiling cannot increase it. So we need to be blessing each other with life and spirit, and encourage one another. And then when this thing all starts to blow up, we know exactly how to handle it.
Hallelujah.
We'll know exactly. See, you need to be listening. You need to be watching. But you also need to be busy.
Amen.
Be doing what the scripture says to do. Right?
Amen.
We have good, clear instructions. You don't have to say, well, I don't really know about that. It's written. I know about that. It's just doing it. It's getting up every morning, going into worship, going into praise, proclaiming, going out witnessing. Just do that. You know? And the blessing of God, and the blessing of God, and the blessing of God. But whatever you do, build one another up. Encourage one another. Amen. Father, oh, we thank you for including us in the kingdom. Thank you for planting the kingdom in our hearts. Planting the kingdom inside of us. Giving us power and authority. Giving us words. Giving us your spirit. Giving us eternal life. Everything we need to get the work done. Father, energize us to do your work, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.